Oh, yes. Tuesday before Thanksgiving, we take a trip out to Buffalo. It's usually a snowstorm, and we have a Thanksgiving service at Charity Baptist Mission. A bunch of people over there and help out with dinner. We bring dinner. But if you're able to help out additionally, clothing drive and venison. Winter clothes only is what they need. We put some verses in here. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. Again, they're looking for clothes for men, women, and children. And then, if you get a deer and you want to freeze the meat, they'll use it over there throughout the year. And if you just process it and freeze it, don't bring me a deer. All right, bring it processed and frozen, and that'll be helpful. And then we could take it out when we go out at that time. And also, and then we mailed out our youth rally cards. And Brother Cellini does these, and he does a tremendous job. It's great to, you can ask Mr. Schultz, we've used a lot of people over the years, and it's nice to be able to give business. He's cheaper, and he's local, and a lot easier to communicate with. And does a fantastic job. So, but if you could pray for our youth rally, it really is a big time here. A lot goes into it, and just pray about that. Hopefully, you found Acts chapter 11 by now, and we'll start in verse 19. We're going to go from Acts 11, verses 19, and go through the end of the chapter, and see what the Lord has for us there. Acts 11. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that rose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenice, and Cyprus, and Antioch, teaching the word not only to none, but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. God, I pray that you would use this passage, use your word in a mighty way in our hearts. And Lord, you, as we just go verse by verse, that you would speak to us. And Lord, you'd reveal things to us as we study your perfect holy word. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So Stephen has been killed. And because of that, there is not only persecution, but because of the persecution, people are scattered abroad. How's that? Better?
Excellent. Thank you. They were scattered abroad. And so as we read verses 19 and 20, we see different places as far as Phoenice and Cyprus and Antioch preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene. And what's going to happen by the end of this, we see the Grecians come in. Now, there's a man that got saved in Acts chapter 9 that changes some things. His name was Paul. Well, it was Saul. He got changed. And the Lord does something great with Paul. And he not only takes the gospel to the Jews, but also to the Greeks. And by the end of the chapter, or by the end of the book of Acts, it is wide open. The gospel has gone to all mankind. And you know, I was talking to some young people this past week, and asking them. A lot of people desire to get involved in missions, want to be a missionary. Have you ever taken a mission trip? No. You might want to do that. I'm just saying, like, if you want to become a mechanic, you might want to learn how to use a tool. If you're desiring to get involved in mission work, you might want to see that the gospel crosses all cultural barriers. It breaks down all of those walls. God is not an American, neither is Christianity. We're one of the last groups to ever get it. It was all over the world long before we had it. And in reading this passage, I see these different cities, and I just wonder, man, what did that look like in service? I wonder if the people from Cyprus sat over here, and the Cyrenians sat over here, and the Phoenicians sit over here. And everyone sat in their own group? I think not. I think they worshiped the Lord together. As we read, I love this verse in Revelation. Hold your hand in Acts 19, or Acts chapter 11, but go to Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, palms in their hands. Man. All nations. The only one that can truly bring about peace to all of it is Jesus Christ. Now, of course, we know that the Antichrist is going to bring about a false sense of peace before the world gets destroyed. But Jesus Christ brings peace to people. He is able to take cultures that hated each other, Greeks and Jews, and bring them together. Man, that's really neat reading that in Acts chapter 11. Our society where we live, we don't have to deal with that too much. And I'm thankful for that. I feel like we don't have... In our church, I feel that's not a problem. In Galatians, look at Galatians chapter 3. In verse 26, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as of you as have been baptized into Christ... have put on Christ." Verse 28, "There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus." Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where you came from. All that matters is that Christ made a difference in your life. And this is the group that we're dealing with here. We have a cross-cultural group. Say, can God bless that? Well, He certainly does. As we continue on in Acts chapter 11, go back to Acts chapter 11. If I could do this, if you've never taken a missions trip before, could I encourage you to take one? Say, I like home. I understand liking home. I like home too. But there's something about seeing Christianity somewhere else. It's a blessing. It'll change your perspective. It'll change your heart. It might even, Lord willing, it would change your approach to all mankind. In verse 21 of Acts chapter 11, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number of them believed and turned unto the Lord." Isn't it great what God can do? I was praying just a couple minutes ago, and how you just think of things, and the thought of heaven is overwhelming. The thought of salvation is overwhelming. I'm telling the Lord this. I told the Lord, the list of prayer requests are overwhelming. And I just kept going on of all these things that are overwhelming. I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed at the thought of God. I'm overwhelmed at the thought of what God can do with an individual. I'm overwhelmed with the cares of this life. I'm overwhelmed by... It's just all bigger than what I can think about. And then I come to verse 21. "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." Do you know how awesome it is when someone gets a hold of the things of Christ and how God changes a life? I've had the privilege of sitting at many of your tables, hearing your testimony about how God changed your life. I wish we could just bring person after person up to give testimonies. That's why fellowship's important. That's why we talk about our salvation. That's why, hey, if you don't know how the person sitting next to you got saved, ask them. Tell me your story. Oh, you've just always been saved. No. They got here just like you. They had a path that brought them here. And the Lord changes these people. What they were is no longer what they are, because they turned unto the Lord. That means they were going one way, and God turned them around and brought them to Him. They're a new creature in Christ, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And so it should be. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, that it says that old things ought to be passed away. The Christian ought to look different than when they were lost. Not just appearance-wise, but their whole attitude, their whole approach to people, their whole interaction with one another. Why? Because we've turned. We've made a change in direction. Before you were saved, you were heading down a very destructive path of sin. So how do you know my life? Because that's everybody's life without Christ. You are in a mess. And the longer you're saved, the more you see how much of a mess you were in. And then one day you had to turn. Call that repentance. And you turned and you go back to the Lord. And God changes things. Now you are no longer heading in that direction. Therefore, you ought not to be putting on the things that were taking you that way. You ought to be putting on and shedding different things that make you look different. Make you act different. And that's what happened here in Acts chapter 11. A behavior changed. If there's no change in your behavior, how can you meet Jesus and not be changed? You show me someone in the scriptures that had any interaction with Christ and wasn't changed. Even the one who thought he did so well, the rich young ruler, right? I've kept all the commandments. He was proud of himself. How he approaches the Lord is in pride and arrogancy. How does he leave? Saddened because he had much possessions. His life was changed. He will replay that conversation over and over again until the day he dies. If you've come to Christ and nothing has ever changed, have you really met Christ? I'm not accusing anybody, but people turned from something. They turn towards something. And the new man doesn't look like the old man. And a great number of them did. Back to Acts chapter 11. Are you in Acts 11? Good. Okay, verse 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Who, when he came, had seen the grace of God and was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. What is cleave? It means to hold on to really tight. Romans chapter 12 verse 9 tells us to cleave to that which is good. Hold on to it. Don't let go. When my kids were little, they would wrap themselves around my leg. That was cool when there was one, and you could put them on your strong leg, but then there's two, and then we're all falling over. And they cleave, they hold on tight. Do you cleave to the Lord? Do you cleave to the Lord in the difficult times? Look at Isaiah 54. Look at this great verse. Isaiah 54 and 17. Isaiah 54, 17. It says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. You know what? There's no one that can overtake the Lord. There's no one. Hey, he is able to sustain the largest of problems. We are able to cleave to him and hold on to him in the hardest of times. And he says, you are mine. And that's what they did. They cleaved to the Lord. And Barnabas was encouraged by it. He noticed that they all had purpose of heart. That they were doing something with a purpose. They served God with a reason. They came up with plans and decided and let God lead them and guide them. And that's what they did. They lived by faith. And it describes Barnabas to us in verse 24. For he was a good man. Acts chapter 11, verse 24. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. Hey, understand this. Godliness brings about godliness. Godliness breeds godliness. It encourages us. We provoke each other unto good works. That's what Hebrews chapter 10, 24 says. That we would provoke one another unto good works. That means we prompt each other to do it. We encourage each other. We encourage each other to pray. We encourage each other to read. We encourage each other to take steps of faith. We encourage each other to be good. We encourage each other to have full of the Holy Ghost. Hey, it's okay to for your friend to come up and say, hey, is that really what the Lord would do in that situation? I hear what you're saying, but I'm not sure God is in that. Hey, that's provoking unto good works. I don't want to offend. Stop worrying about offending everybody when it takes a stand on what's right. You think Barnabas is like, I don't know, guys, I'm not sure you can handle this, but you're going to have to change what you're doing. Godliness breeds godliness. Verse 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus. He went to go get somebody. Went to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. So now our scenario, our setting is Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Here they were, day after day. They're living there, Barnabas and Paul. And what are they doing? They're just teaching the word of God. Teaching the things that we see. We don't have time to look at it all, but 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 6 through 11, great things that are being taught. The teachings of Christ, though, make Christians. Look at verse 26. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Why? Why were they? Because they took on the attributes of Christ. That's why. It's not because they got t-shirts. It's not because they got little uniforms. But because for a whole year, Paul and Barnabas taught them. Taught them the teachings of Christ. And then they changed their ways. And people said, you know what? You remind me of somebody. Jesus. We're going to call you a Christian. And what maybe was meant to be a derogatory term then became their banner. And then we conclude 27 through 30. And in these days, much prophets from Jerusalem came much. Let me say that again. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world. What does he say? He says, God just told me that there's going to be a great famine. Well, how do we know if it's true? If the famine comes true, right? Which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. So was what God told Agabus true? Yes. Was there a famine throughout all the land? Yes. Does that make living hard? Yes. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Which also they did. Do you believe every word of God is pure? Which also they did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. There was a need that required help. There was a group that didn't have anything, and some group had some, so they said, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give some money and food or supplies to these guys, and we're going to send them. Chapter 12, we hear about Peter locked up in the jail, right? And all of a sudden, the Lord lets him out. And then we come back to chapter 13. And they were in the church that was at Antioch. That's what we were just talking about, right? So we kind of have like a you know how like in a movie they cut scenes and they go to another place at the same time. This is what's happening, and then they come back to where we were just were. So like 11 kind of butts right up against 13. Now there was in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon. How long were Barnabas and Saul in Antioch teaching? Does anyone remember? Just read it. How long? A year. Thank you for paying attention. It makes me feel good. That was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene. Oh, here we're starting to see some names to the groups of people that we just talked about, right? And Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them, and they sent them away. I think the Lord introduced that thought back at the end of Acts chapter 11. A need demands someone to be sent to meet it. At first they had a dearth in the land. That means a famine in the land. All right, here's what we'll do. We'll send supplies. Hey, there's a lot of people out there that don't know Jesus. All right, here's what we'll do. We'll send people. Sunday starts our missions conference. Sunday starts a time where we really focus in on giving, going. Isn't Revelation 7:9 where all of those people and kindred, where they all come together and they sing and worship the Lord, isn't that going to be amazing? My question is, how many are going to be there because of you? What are we doing to get more there that day? What are we doing? Are we allowing Christ to change us? Have we turned from something? Are we cleaving to the Lord? Are we taking our godliness and breeding more godliness? Are we taking the teachings of Christ and making fellow Christians say, what's the point of that? That God would come down and say, all right, I want you to now. Because we met the needs and we did what we were supposed to do. There was a natural progression through Acts chapter 11. And then we see in Acts chapter 13, the first missionary sent out. Needs require help. And I'm here to tell you, there's a great need. People need help. Say, well, I'll make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. That's no longer the need. The need is Christ. I have written in my Bible, we are either the sender or we are the one being sent. Missions is not an option. It is who we are as Christians. We take the gospel and we send it all over the world. That's why we have missions conference, to remind us of that. That's why we bring missionaries in, to remind us of that. So we as a church have a responsibility to help get the gospel all over. Whether I take it and deliver it myself, or you, or we send it in someone's pocket to go. Let's not forget our obligation to missions. Let's all stand. Needs require help. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for how good you are to us. Lord, Lord, forgive us for being selfish Christians. Forgive us for hoarding you all to ourselves. God, may we be faithful in doing the things that you've asked us to do. Lord, may we have a burden and a care for the lost. And Lord, I pray that you'd show us exactly what it is that our role is in helping meet the need. Lord, I pray that you prepare our hearts even now for a missions conference that starts this coming week. God, you'd be pleased. That you'd be pleased with the faith, and that we'd be willing that we'd first be of a willing mind. Lord, help us. Watch over us, protect us as we travel home now. Lord, help us to think on these things. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night.